Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our texts for this Sunday are a little difficult for us, I think. They kind of deal with touchy issues, and I was hoping it would be a more sunnier day when we go through them. But it is a little gloomier, but that's okay. But our focus for today is from Mark 7. I wanted to look at Mark 7 for us because I think it's appropriate for what we're dealing with always in our own life. But the thing with Mark chapter 7 that is a little bit frustrating is because there's no message of promise from Jesus here. The text from verses 1 through 13 in Mark chapter 7 does not give us any words of promise or the gospel message in these passages. There's no way to get around it. But this text is not necessarily addressed to baptized Christians, not addressed to even Jesus' disciples. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and scribes, to the people that aren't even following Jesus. And so it's a rebuke addressed to them, which makes it difficult for how it addresses us. But I think we can learn from what Jesus has to say to the Pharisees and to the scribes in our own temptations and our own faults that we tend to gravitate towards, especially when we want to think about the scriptures, God's word on our life, God's word as it takes a hold of us and then manifests itself into our vocations, how that word can be muddied by traditions, by things we grasp onto that we have taken for granted, things that are good, maybe, on the surface, but we find that in reality they have hurt our Christian life, our church's life, and how that turns out in our relationships with others. And so that's where we're going to go with Mark 7 today, is that sometimes we're tempted to say less than what the scriptures say by ignoring or rejecting what's maybe just clearly written in front of us. And at other times we're tempted to say more than what God's word has to say by insisting upon our own ideas and our own additions. And in this case, when we look at the Pharisees and the scribes, they're doing a little bit of both. And we too find ourselves trapped and maybe doing a little bit of both, holding to such traditions or downplaying such commands that God has given to us. And so in the story, we see the Pharisees, and maybe it was difficult to follow along because we have the Pharisees approaching them about the disciples who are eating with defiled hands, unwashed hands, and maybe quickly, we can go right to us as parents who think about our kids who need to wash their hands before they eat and maybe have a sense of this, but this is more of the ceremonial cleaning. And as we see in that parenthetical long statement, there are many of these traditions that the Jewish people, the disciples, and all these are Jewish people and the Pharisees and the disciples who are also Jews had to follow as far as their eating and the marketplaces and how they conduct themselves in society among the Jewish community. So the Pharisees were criticizing the position the disciples were in at this point and what they were doing. Why do the disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? Why don't they walk in the way that they were given, the traditions that were passed down to them, the teachings that were passed down to them? And you can kind of see why that connection later when Jesus brings up the honor your father and mother, why those things actually fit together. Jesus isn't just bringing up the commandment, why honor your father and mother for no reason. It's because it's what the Pharisees originally were putting forth. That according to the tradition of the elders, to honor your father and mother, the faith passed down, this is what they ought to do. But Jesus, right in the middle of that, in the middle of the conversation of, or centered around this fourth commandment, I suppose, honor your father and mother, he references Isaiah, our text from today. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. Now think about your own way of how people honor with lips, but their heart is still far from who Jesus is. And maybe we don't have to take it so theologically yet, so religiously, but just think about the ways in which our words, what we say, does not truly match how we live. The promises we might make that doesn't actually show in reality. Think of those things, and then think of how that might apply to what Jesus is saying here. That the Pharisees and the scribes, the people he's addressing and talking to, that they honor God and his word with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship, they show up, they do the rituals, they follow the rules, they check their boxes, but they still only follow and hold to the teachings and doctrines and commandments of men. Think for a moment what that means. Because the teachings, doctrines, and commandments of men are those things, those traditions, those rituals, those rules that we might hold more dearly than God's word on us. It could be something like, it's the way we've always done it. You can't change this sort of thing. You can't do this thing because it's the way we've always done it. It doesn't have to just be in church. It could just be in your own families and your lives or other people. Just think about the way the world has taught us to raise our children or have a successful life. It seems that the way to do it is to have both parents, both families working hard, and then having your children be taken care of at the daycare or move into the preschool and then into the school and have them be raised in such a fashion so that you and your family can be successful also and have your vacation home or your vacation time and use your summers to actually use that money that you've collected because both of you are working and that's why you're doing it, so you can fulfill and give quality time to your children because quality matters more than quantity. But to suggest that even spending more time with your kids, or a father decides to work from home or raise kids from home, is seen as a bizarre thing to do. It's like, why would you do that? And for the mother or for the father, be the only one that brings in the single income, why would you give up all that money just so you could be at home? Even when your kids are at school all day. Sometimes if you live that way and you focus on other things that matter and you devote the time to it, rather than trying to force some quality time, you find that the quantity of time spent is actually more important. That's just one example of perhaps traditions in the world, traditions of men, the way our culture kind of forces us to see things, to engage in things, to find a way of living that's, to them, is most successful. But what the Pharisees and what Jesus is talking about here is that the Pharisees and the scribes have taken what God has given them and they have built traditions around these things and rules, perhaps at the beginning to be helpful for the sake of the faith that they were a part of, but it came to a point over years of passing down that they've completely missed the point of what God's word had in mind, what God had spoken. You see, what Jesus is doing is he's not being a rebel. He's not rebelling against the Pharisees and the scribes because of their religiosity or their teachings of being God's chosen instruments. What Jesus is doing is he actually is fighting against the ones who are rebelling against him. The Pharisees and the scribes have held to their traditions of men, to their commandments of men, more than to what God had given and commanded. They're grasping on to things they've taken for granted. They're grasping on to what they're used to, grasping on to what's comfortable, grasping on to control of the situation. That's what Jesus says at the end. If you look at verse 11, or that passage where verses 9 through 11, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God. And he goes into the honor of your father and your mother. But if you say a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is korban. Use that word korban. That is given to God, but for the Pharisees and for the scribes, it's grasping on to the traditions of men, grasping on to, how else to put it? Grasping on to my control of things, that I understand things and how they work, that I have a connection to God because of who I am as a Pharisee or whatever that means for them, but also for us, maybe, as we think of our own temptation to grasp on and understand God to a point that I know what I'm doing, don't worry about me. And also view our traditions and commandments that we've committed to ourselves by passing down as being the one and only way and the proper way to hear God's word, to live under his care, to live out his life he's given to us. But Jesus is making that change. And this is the part where the text kind of doesn't give us the promises that Christians are called to hear. Because Jesus is trying to correct and guide these Pharisees to what the true word that God has given and what that means. But for us, who live today, we grasp on to something else. We grasp on to Jesus' promises, the ones he gives to us, the ones where he says, your sins are forgiven, that you're mine. You belong to me and no one else. And you listen to him. Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh. Now we have our own traditions and things we do that are very helpful. But it's when they start becoming the thing we grasp onto that they lose their helpfulness. Because we do these things only to help in growing our faith and to following Jesus and obeying and listening to everything he's given to us. But when we start taking for granted and holding on to the traditions and commands that we have made and developed as men, then we completely miss what God has called us to be someone else, to repent, to change, to follow him and do things as he says. And that means it's going to look very different from what the rest of the world has placed on us, what they expect. It means to listen to Jesus and follow his promises and his commands. that you're not too concerned about yourself, but your orientation is now focused in looking outwards. Because who you are is received from outside of yourself by the promises of Jesus, and then who you are now in the world is also outside yourself. It's defined by the relationships you have with your neighbor, with the creation, with everyone around you, and now you follow Jesus where he leads you to those places in life, to the one nearest you, to who God commands you to be a part of and take care of. Jesus Christ is the promised Savior for you, and that's the given that we need to hear again and again, that he has come and called you and claimed you, made you his own, forgives you, and now he's calling you to follow him, to listen to him, to be guided by him. Mark 7 is not the easiest text for us to get around, because Jesus here is putting on some hard rebukes for the Pharisees and the scribes. And they can be hard for us to receive and hear, because we know the temptations for ourselves to grab onto traditions, to hold to rules that we've made up as if they were from God himself. But Jesus reminds you that who you are is not defined by what you do, the traditions you keep, the commandments you've made up that have become helpful even, but who you are is defined by him. Jesus told the Pharisees from Isaiah, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Your heart is not far from Jesus, because Jesus has come to you and he has changed your heart. He's made it into something new. He's doing that again today. And as you receive the Lord's Supper, the body and blood of Jesus, not only is your heart changed, but you actually are receiving in you Christ's life. It's who you are. And now you're free, and sometimes you're burdened, to go and live and love the people closest to you, the ones God has called you to take care of and be a part of. Do it with joy. Do it in love. Above all, do it with faith that Jesus has got a hold of you, and he's grasped onto you. In Jesus' name, amen.